I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have with us today, Fast
well,
Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you what, there, Digital Dave. We've got Steven Strollo, courtesy of Phillips 66. And he's all oiled up and ready to go.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sorry.
Wow. You know, we do have video this year. People can verify that.
Yes, they sure can.
How are you guys today?
We're doing good.
Great.
How are you?
I'm good. So as I mentioned, I work in the just the lubricant side of Phillips 66.
And nothing to do with gasoline, right?
Not specifically. So not in a good position to answer questions about our fuel side of the business, but can answer any questions you might have about lubricants, aviation lubricants, engine oil lubricants. I represent all our segments that we actually sell into.
Well, let's start right there. What's the major difference between aviation motor oil and automotive?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, for one thing, the piston aviation oils aren't as heavily additized as the oils that go into over-the-road engines, right? When I say over-the-road, I'm talking about cars and trucks. So with the exception of phosphorus, you don't have any metallic additives that exist in piston aviation engine oils, right? Primarily because if you had such additives in your piston aviation engine oil, those additives could possibly accumulate in your combustion chamber, right? And since they're metallic, they can glow and get red hot and lead to pre-ignition, right? That's not an issue for over-the-road engines, right? Because they don't consume as much oil. So you can have different additives, specifically metallic additives in your over-the-road engine oils. Metallic additives that are used for really effective anti-wear properties and detergency and dispersancy, right? So those are all accomplished by using metallic additives for over-the-road engines. And you don't have those same additives in piston aviation oils for the reasons I mentioned.
Okay, there was a word you slipped in there, dispersancy. You always see that ash dispersant. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it's ashless dispersant, actually.
Oh, ashless.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, close.
Meaning?
Well, as the name implies, it's a dispersant to keep contaminants in solution in your oil. And there are a lot of contaminants that get into your oil in the process of its use, right? Primarily, as far as the contaminants are concerned, are there contaminants from blow-by gases, right? Mm-hmm. You always get blow-by, high-pressure gases from the combustion process. They get past your rings, even in a well-maintained new engine. Those blow-by gases are contaminants. They get into your oil. And the dispersant keeps them dispersed, keeps them in suspension, so these contaminants, and it's not just blow-by gases, there are others as well, but keeps the contaminants in suspension so they don't clog up oil passageways and ring grooves and things like that. Also, by keeping them in suspension allows you to drain those contaminants out when you change your oil, right? So ashless just implies there's no ash left behind when that particular additive, which is what an ashless dispersant is. It's an additive, non-metallic additive. Ashless means that when that additive burns up, there's no ash left behind, right?
Okay.
So that's all that.
It's a clean burn then.
It is.
Right.
It burns cleanly. It doesn't leave any deposits in your combustion chamber, like I alluded to before.
Yeah.
And when it burns up, goes right out to the exhaust port and doesn't lead to any problems.
Now, will a dispersant help reduce the amount of sludge that can build up in your engine?
That's a good question. I would say yes. Sure. Well, yep. Sludge is mostly a byproduct of carbon, right, in the oil, and I would say yes.
Now, when you say it holds the contaminants in suspension, when the engine's cooled off and sitting for 6 months, does it stay in suspension or will it then start settling out?
I think it would probably depend upon the type and size of the contaminant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On average. Sure. Let's talk about weight of motor oil. Coming from the automotive world, if thick is good, thicker is better. Is that the same case?
Well, yeah, that's another very good question, right? And going back to your original question, the difference between over-the-road passenger car engine oils and aviation oils, at least piston aviation oils. Let me follow up on that first. Another big difference, in addition to the additives, which I talked about, is the viscosity, right? The viscosity of oil used for for piston aviation engines is quite a bit higher than your average over-the-road engine, right? Because the clearances are larger in an air-cooled engine versus a water-cooled over-the-road engine. So larger clearances need a thicker oil to bridge the gap in the clearances. So, you know, you'll see like a 20W50 used in an aviation engine or an SAE 50, which is the same as a commercial grade 100, versus the viscosity you'll see for, you know, passenger car engine oils. They'll be 5W20s, 10W30s. One thing that you might find interesting, or most of the listeners out there, is the reason why engine oils have been getting progressively thinner and thinner for over-the-road applications, right? And it's primarily a mechanism to improve fuel economy.
Yeah, squeeze a couple more out of it.
Increases fuel economy by using a lower viscosity oil by maybe a couple percent, which, you know, it's pretty small, but when you add that to all the other changes that have been made for cars and trucks, like more aerodynamic designs and lighter building materials, it's, you know, why cars get the gas mileage they do now compared to, you know, those in the 60s and whatnot.
Let's talk about multi-viscosity oils. First off, how does that work?
Well, it has a lot of advantages, right? I mean, guys, the primary way you control friction and wear in any engine, especially piston aviation engines that don't have really highly effective anti-wear additives, is to keep your metal moving surfaces separated by a very thin film of oil, right? And if you do that, you have minimal wear because there's no metal-to-metal contact. So in order to achieve that, you want full film separation. The way you achieve that, at least when you start up an engine and it's cold, is by having an oil as thin as possible, right? Because the thinner that oil is going to be, the sooner it's going to flow throughout your entire engine and develop that full film separation. When the engine's at operating temperature, obviously when you increase the temperature of the oil, its viscosity drops. But you still need to have a relatively thick oil, right, to achieve that full film separation at operating temperatures. So a multi-weight oil, like a 20W50 or the AeroShell 15W50, is thinner at lower operating temperatures, startup temperatures, than a straight weight, right? That's what the W is all about, right? So you achieve more immediate full film separation by using a multi-weight. So there's really not a strong advantage of using a straight weight oil in a piston aircraft engine, right? A lot of folks are adamant about using a straight weight oil, thinking it's better for a number of reasons that we may not have time to talk about. When people come to our tent and say, I use a straight weight oil, I always like to ask, when is the last time you saw a straight weight oil, single viscosity oil, recommended for a car truck?
Right. Never.
Well, it's been at least, I don't know. I had a 69 Camaro, and I think they were even suggesting multi-weights or recommending multi-weights even back then. There's really no difference as far as lubrication is concerned and oil between a piston aviation engine, air-cooled, and an over-the-road water-cooled engine, right? All the advantages that are seen by using a multi-weight oil in an over-the-road engine also exist for, you know, for piston aviation engines as well.
Well, the operating conditions for an aircraft engine are much more significant than, say, an over-the-road vehicle. Typically on the highway, you're using 10% of your power at most, unless you're passing or towing.
Sure.
But an aircraft, if you're setting 75% power, you got 75% power. It's got to make a difference in the oil that you use.
That's a good point. But as far as, you know, what I just conveyed about advantage of using multi-weight versus straight weight are still there. And I don't think you're disagreeing with me. I think you're
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I'm just stating the conditions. The aircraft engine has much more severe operating conditions.
Good point.
Now, would you say that in severe operating conditions, flying hot, high, heavy, training, change your oil interval, your drain interval?
Well, the oil drain interval, more than anything, is just a... No, No, and answer your question. You know, the oil drain interval, if you look at both continental Lycoming, they'll both suggest that it's every 50 hours or 4 months if you have a full flow oil filter. And if you just have a smaller engine with just a suction screen, it's every 25 hours or 4 months. So the oil change interval, more so than operating temperature or load, is a function of hours, not only operating hours, or it's also months. And a lot of owner and operators have a real hard problem with that every 4 months, right? I mean, there are lots of people, and you know more than I do, I would suspect, that fly less than 50 hours a year, and they have their oil changed at their annual, right? The reason why the four-month recommendation exists is it's a means of eliminating moisture that accumulates in your sump from long periods of non-use, which, you know, let's face it, is the vast majority of the planes that we're familiar with.
Yeah, that's sit more than fly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how do we find out more about the oils from you?
Well, visit our tent. And don't ask me where exactly it's at. It's,
but it says Phillips 66 on it.
You can't miss it. It's near the flight line. It's near the flight line.
It's somewhere between here and Boeing Plaza.
Well, I thought you were going to say somewhere between here and there.
It's not, I should have that committed to memory before I came here.
By the end of the week.
Well, maybe not. But
all right, we've been speaking with Steve Strollo from Phillips 66. Thank you again for joining us. Oil's important. Make sure you got it.
Yeah.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.